Grace to you and peace from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's kind of a three-pronged thing, really. You get yourself some good old boys, a pot of coffee, and then you put a newspaper right in the middle of the table, and all the world's problems will be solved. Through the discussion and through the talking, they'll work out all the world's problems. Don't worry, they can fix it all. You know, we might chuckle about that, but it's true, kind of, isn't it? Like, you get a group of people together, and really I say good old boys, but really, let's face it, all of us could be guilty at times of thinking about ways in which we could just fix all the world's problems. And I have no doubt that there's a number of us here that probably talk to our TVs sometimes at night, or maybe it's our phones when we're reading some article we read on the internet. We are getting towards election season, and so surely we know better than whoever it happens to be. We all know how to do it. If only they would listen to us. If only they would listen to all of our thoughts and all of our opinions. I remember whenever I was working at a factory, and then I'd work at a deli, and I worked at several other places throughout my lifetime, and it was always the thing. No matter where I was, it seemed, everybody that I worked with knew better than the boss. The boss didn't know what they were doing. That's what it comes down to. If only they would listen to the workers, if only they would listen to us that was down there doing whatever it is that we were doing, that would fix all the problems. Now, some of you have been blessed enough to become the boss. And my guess is that when you became the boss, that was when you began to realize why it was the bosses did what they did. And for maybe the first time ever, you realized why they didn't necessarily fix all the problems that seemed to be. But that's usually the way it is, isn't it? Whenever you're looking up and seeing the higher-ups, it's easy to critique them. It's easy to criticize. It's easy to say, I could do a better job. I know how to do it better than they do. It can be easy. We all want that place of authority, that place where we get to run the show, that place where we're in charge. The disciples are no different. The disciples, even back then, had their own ideas, their own thoughts, if only they were the ones to run the show. Jesus is trying to talk to his disciples privately, and he starts by talking over what is about to happen. He is making a beeline for Jerusalem. He is heading towards Jerusalem, and he is heading there to die. And he's telling his disciples about what's going to happen. But they don't like it. They don't understand it. And they also don't want to ask questions. They're afraid to ask questions. Of course they're afraid. Remember what happened the last time? In Mark 8, Jesus tells them about his death and resurrection. And it's Peter that stands in front and says, "No way." And he is rebuked. He is rebuked by Jesus, who says, "Get behind me, Satan." So yeah, they're not asking a lot of questions. They're uncomfortable with the topic. But instead, they get into an argument on the way. Who's the greatest? If Jesus is the top, if he is the master, who's his right-hand man? Who's the one that's going to be in charge? Who's the one that's going to have the most authority? Who is it? Who's going to be the greatest disciple? And this is the discussion. This is what they have to talk about along the way. And Jesus begins to teach them, but he teaches them in a way that kind of flips everything on its head. He brings a child, a small child, and he brings the child and puts it in front of them. Now, we have to get through a few cultural concepts here before we can go too much further. There are times whenever we run across the teaching of Jesus, and the teachings of Jesus have so impacted us, even impacted our culture, to where we look at things differently than what they did in the ancient world. When we see a small child, we look at it and say, oh, there's our future, the precious angel. We love the little children. Jesus taught that. We love that. That's not the way they thought in the ancient world. In the ancient world, when they saw a child, they saw a leech. To be blunt about it, and I do mean blunt because I don't say this word lightly, but they thought the children were stupid. They didn't know anything. They didn't know how to act. They didn't know what to do. They brought nothing to society. They didn't produce anything. Instead, you had to take care of them all the time. That was the concept of a child. That's the way they looked at children. So imagine, this is your view. And now all of a sudden, Jesus brings a small child and puts him in front of you and says, oh, you need to accept the kingdom of God like this. You need to accept the kingdom of God like a small child. It's completely different than the culture of the day. But he's talking about being a servant of all, but also being reliant. That's what a small child is. That's what a small child does. And this is how Jesus is teaching about the kingdom of God, but he's also teaching about what it means to be great. Jesus is great. He sets the tone. He sets the example. And what does Jesus do? Jesus goes to Jerusalem. Jesus dies on the cross for our sake. Jesus, the greatest, is also Jesus the servant. Jesus, the one with all the authority, is the one who goes to the cross. But this also impacts us. How are we as a people and as a church to be? How are we to act and how are we to do? God calls on us to be servants. If we truly want to be great, we have to be last. We have to be a servant. Now you guys might think to yourself, well, Pastor, how do you do that? God has called all of us in different ways, in different categories. For some of us, he has made us mothers and fathers, aunts and uncles. He has made us all different types. And what about our careers? What are some of the things that we find ourselves doing in service to our neighbor? And what about our church? What are some of the ways in which we give of ourselves for the sake of our church? Maybe you find yourself doing some teaching with Sunday school, or maybe you find yourself singing, or maybe you find yourself doing something completely different. We have so many things that are going on. Maybe you find yourself as a student, or maybe even as I go through this laundry list of things, you find yourself thinking, Pastor, I can't do any of that. In which I say, how many prayer warriors do we have? How many people do we have that wake up in the morning with a prayer list a mile long saying, I'm going to pray for the people of God? There are always ways in which we as God's people serve. There's always ways in which we find ourselves serving as Christ has served us. But it's also important to realize that as we gather here, we also be reminded again that we are to accept the kingdom of God as little children. And so we invite little children even into the church. And yes, I know sometimes they squirm, and sometimes they make noise, and sometimes they scream out, and sometimes I tell people, that's why God gave me a microphone. We have people in this church that can turn my mic up. Don't worry, I can speak loud. It's okay. We want the little children in church. Even if they squirm and make noise and cry out, we want them in the pews. We want them to hear the Word of God, for we know that the Word of God is powerful and that the Word of God even reaches the ears of those little children, even if they can't understand. Even if they can't understand a single word that's spoken or said, we know that God's Word impacts them. For we know that the Holy Spirit works through God's Word. That's why little babies are even baptized. God's Word and power works through means. And so even if that little child doesn't understand a single word, it is good for them to be here. It is good for them to be in our midst. It is good for us to bring our children. Yes, sometimes that might mean we don't quite hear as well as we wish we did. But it's okay. It's okay. For we know that while we serve others, our God has served us by sending His Son, Jesus Christ. That through Jesus Christ, He has gone to the cross and paid the price for you. He paid the price for your sins, for your misdeeds, for your mistakes. Our Lord went to the cross for your forgiveness and for your salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.